Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, January 20th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Natural gas demand to keep rising. LNG exports and AI drive growth. By Mella McEwen, oil editor. Natural gas demand is forecast to continue rising, fueled by demand for exporting liquefied natural gas overseas and to power manufacturing, artificial intelligence data centers, and economic development. Karen Harbert, Chief Executive Officer of the American Gas Association, noted that natural gas in 2024 comprised 37% of all energy consumption and, quote, is quickly on its way to becoming the dominant source of energy, unquote. Participating in the association's update on the state of the industry, she noted that natural gas has been shattering records, including for LNG exports. Sid McAnally, President and Chief Executive Officer of One Gas out of Tulsa, and new AGA Board Chairman, said both natural gas producers and the country face both challenges and opportunities. Since 2006, U.S. natural gas demand has risen 50%, and it's not slowing. Natural gas powers 43% of the nation's electric generation, McAnally pointed out. There is rising national demand for energy of all types, and he said the challenge is to ensure that energy is affordable and reliable. We must ensure energy remains affordable. Managing our operations is important. It helps lower energy bills and provides more value for the products on shelves, he said. Utilities are working closely with communities, public and private partners, and regulators to safely meet the economic development opportunities emerging across the country. We must ensure energy remains affordable for families and businesses. Managing the cost of service and its impact on customer bills is a key focus for our member companies. We are well positioned, considering the cost advantage natural gas provides, he said. Harbert added, The market signals are being read by the producers. Natural gas rigs are up 23% year over year. Prices amongst all of this remain relatively stable, with the EIA's short-term energy outlook forecasting declining natural gas commodity prices in 2026. That's all in the face of increased LNG exports. This article is entitled Mahjong Finds a Home and a Following in Midland by B. K. Richter, staff writer. Mahjong is said to be a game of skill, strategy, and luck. For Nikki Velo and Callie Davis, native Midlanders and co-founders of the WTX Mahjong House, their experiences with the ancient Chinese tile game created not only a new business venture, but also a shared social journey. Velo explained that after moving back to Midland from Houston following 2020, she began searching for other Mahjong players. I was living in Houston in 2020, she recalled. As I was leaving Houston to move to Midland, the game of American Mahjong started to pop up around town. I was moving, and so I didn't have time to learn. When I came to Midland, I was like, who's playing Mahjong? And nobody knew what I was talking about. Then, in 2023, Velo said that a couple of instructors began appearing in the area. Her interest in Mahjong became renewed, and so she hosted a birthday party with 12 of her closest friends so that they could all learn together. She described how their group played Mahjong together for about a year after the 2023 birthday party. At the end of 2024, after attending her first tournament, she came up with the idea of forming a league so they could elevate their game in a more structured way. Vilo said that when she created the league in March 2025, it was just with the intent of organizing players to play together because a lot of people were taking lessons and didn't have anyone to play with. This gave them an opportunity to meet other players and connect and compete, she recalled. Plus, it brought up a little bit of competition to the game. So we ran the league, and it's really taken off since then. We have grown so much that it's been difficult to find space under a deadline without completely overtaking coffee shops and restaurants. Vilo and Davis said that the search to find a dedicated players space in Midland began last summer, with the final result landing a brick-and-mortar location at 3211 West Wadley Avenue, Suite 5A, in the Imperial Shopping Center. The co-founders are planning for the retail shop, event venue, and player space to open in the spring of this year. They said it is going to be a community space and it is going to be a social club. The retail aspect is going to be just to fuel the love of the game as well as support the business, they explained. Vilo said her vision for the space is to be more than a store and a dedicated event space. It's almost like when women create a third home, she said. Women have got work and home, and then you want a place to go chill and relax and just feel like you belong. So that's really what we are trying to create for our members and the community. Both Davis and Vilo said their hope is to build a community space for the game of Mahjong, as well as to build a space that connects others. They said coming off of COVID in a world that continues to be on their screens, Mahjong is something that brings people back together, face to face, enjoying community and new friendships. One of their main goals is to connect people and players and help them build friendships. Members range in age from 22 to 75, with varying skill levels. Some are just learning, and some have been playing for over a decade. Additionally, the co-founders said that they have had the opportunity to connect with other small businesses and nonprofits while raising money for charity. They explained that there's a lot of potential, not only for the people who walk in through their doors, but also for Midland in general. For more information on how to join the WTX Mahjong League or to connect with players of the game, visit WTXMahjong.com. This article is entitled, Man Sentenced to Life Without Parole, Convicted of Continuous Child Sex Abuse, by the Midland Reporter-Telegram. A man has been sentenced to life without parole after he was found guilty of continuous sexual assault of a young child, among other charges. On January 16th, a jury sentenced Michael Andrew Counterman to life in prison and a $10,000 fine after a week-long trial, according to the Midland County District Attorney's Office. The trial was held in the 142nd District Court of the Honorable David G. Rogers. Counterman was convicted of continuous sexual abuse of a young child, aggravated sexual assault of a child under 14 years of age, and aggravated sexual assault of a child under 6 years of age. All counts are first-degree felonies. Four other victims testified that Counterman had sexually abused them on various occasions over the past 30 years, the DA's office said. Counterman was arrested on May 7, 2022, after law enforcement responded to a child's outcry, according to a previous Reporter-Telegram report. The victim told the forensic interviewer that Counterman had touched her inappropriately the day before and stated it wasn't the first time. The victim stated that the first time happened when she was 4 years old, according to an arrest affidavit. Assistant District Attorneys Todd Meador, Stephen Lively, and David McCracken prosecuted the case. This article is entitled Foster Grandparents Connect Kids with Community Leaders to Hear I Have a Dream Speech by Trevor Hawes, editor. Several Midland ISD campuses are partnered with Senior Life Midland and take part in the Foster Grandparents program, which puts volunteer grandmas and grandpas in the classroom. Ahead of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, many students got to meet more than their foster grandparents, thanks to the partnership. On January 15th, community leaders read an illustrated version of Martin Luther King's famous I Have a Dream speech. After they read the speech, they talked a little bit about MLK and what his dream was for a society where we could all come together and go to school, go to church, and even play on the playground, said Tracy Renton, Development Director for Senior Life Midland. Then the conversation shifted to the students, and they were asked what they could do to make this world a better place. Much in the Midland spirit, special guests talked with children about volunteerism, and not just in large ways, like being part of an organization, Renton said. Kids learned about how they can help those in need in their own neighborhood. Among the special guests were Iris Hall Sanders of Southeast Senior Center, at-large City Councilman John Burkholder, Deputy City Manager Morris Williams, Leticia Martinez of the Literacy Coalition of Midland, morning anchor Matthew Alvarez of First Alert 7, Luis Sanchez of the Midland College Cogdell Learning Center, and John Mosch of West Texas Radio Group. Participating schools were Pease Communications and Technology Academy, South Elementary, Rusk Elementary, Henderson Elementary, Bonham Elementary, and Young Women's Leadership Academy. Renton said Senior Life Midland is always looking for volunteers. Those who are interested can find information at seniorlifemidland.org or by calling 432-689-6693 and asking to speak with someone in the Foster Grandparents program or by simply stopping by at 3301 Sinclair Avenue. This article is entitled Midland, Odessa, to Join Nationwide Homeless Count, January 22nd. Resource Fair Set at Salvation Army by B. K. Richter, staff writer. The cities of Midland and Odessa will participate in the nationwide point-in-time count next week. The count, planned for Thursday, January 22nd, involves volunteers counting people who are homeless, both sheltered and unsheltered. Every city in the country will be counting its homeless on this day to give its communities an idea of the homeless population in their city, said Michael McLaughlin, Community Relations and Development Coordinator for the Salvation Army of Midland. A resource fair is also planned for that day. McLaughlin said the resource fair is scheduled from between 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday, January 22nd at the Salvation Army in Midland, 600 East Wall Street. Several nonprofit organizations will be in attendance to share how they can help those in the homeless community, McLaughlin said. Additionally, individuals who are seeking help but are unsure how to begin, can find resources by attending the fair. A free lunch will be provided by Complex Community Federal Credit Union from noon to 12:45 p.m. Attendees can also expect door prizes and other gift distributions. In 2024, the number of unsheltered homeless individuals was reported as increasing from 76 in 2023 to 138 in 2024. The 2025 count showed significant changes. The 2025 report indicated 41 fewer individuals are experiencing homelessness compared to 2024, and that 36 more individuals are staying in shelters. Additionally, the report said there are 77 fewer unsheltered individuals compared to 2024. The report said the 2025 numbers suggest a shift in the homeless population, with some individuals accessing shelters and others finding stable housing. The point-in-time count is a nationwide initiative required by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and coordinated in Texas by the Texas Homeless Network. This article is entitled, Midland College Offers Free Courses for Learners 50+, by Trevor Hawes, editor. If you're a lifelong learner aged 50 or older, there are a variety of educational opportunities coming up as part of its Spring 2026 College Classics program. Each course is free, and some are available off-campus. College Classics is all about keeping learning accessible, fun, and meaningful, said Corey Chisholm, Director of Community Programs at Midland College, said in a statement. It's exciting to see so many local residents continue their journey of lifelong learning, explore new topics, and connect with others in our community. We love welcoming new participants each semester and celebrating the curiosity and growth of our returning learners. You can learn more and register at midland.edu or by calling the Community Programs Office at 432-685-4518. The Spring 2026 College Classics course lineup includes chair yoga, a gentle class using a chair for breathing exercises, meditation, and movement to boost well-being, improve flexibility, strength, posture, reduce stress, and enhance mental clarity. Also available at Manor Park, CASA Senior Center, Midland Senior Center, and Southeast Senior Center. The Constitution Today, a discussion-based course focusing on the separation of powers, current events, and the interplay between federal and state governments. English paper piecing. Participants create a pincushion or mug rug using a traditional 1-inch hexagon grandmother's flower garden block. Intermediate clogging. A low-impact aerobic workout combined with beginning to intermediate clogging routines. Tai Chi Gong. Gentle movements rooted in Lao Tzu's teachings that harmonize mind, body, and spirit for improved balance, vitality, and overall wellness. Also available at Manor Park. The Psychology of Thinking plus Everyday Decisions. Explore how the brain processes information, evaluates risk, and balances logic and intuition in daily decision-making. Opera 101. A journey into the world of opera. Presented by the Permian Basin Opera, this course highlights acclaimed productions, composers, and the historical and cultural context of their works. Global Connect. Spanish culture. Build basic Spanish skills through practical conversation and cultural insights. Political geography. Students select countries of interest to explore culture, history, geography, and politics. Only available at Manor Park. This article is entitled, Driver Accused of Hitting Kentquick, Fleeing. Midland Crime Stoppers Seeks Help Identifying Man, by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Midland Crime Stoppers is requesting assistance in locating a suspect allegedly accused of striking a Kentquick building with a vehicle. According to a social media post by Midland Crime Stoppers, at approximately 12:42 a.m. December 30th, 2024, a vehicle described as a silver 2011 Ford Mustang allegedly caused damage to the building located along North Big Spring and then fled the scene. The suspect is described as an adult black male. Midland Crime Stoppers is asking residents to identify this driver. Crime Stoppers is offering a reward for tips leading to an arrest or charges. To be eligible for a reward, a tip must be submitted through the Crime Stoppers hotline, mobile app, or website. Law enforcement must act on the tip for an arrest to be made, or the case must be cleared. Tips submitted through other avenues are not eligible. No caller identification is ever used, and the caller will remain anonymous. Calling 694-TIPS, use the P3 Tips mobile app, or visit www.694tips.com. A video showing the suspect has been attached to this story below. This article is entitled Midland County Deputies Arrest Man in Alleged Burglary. Stolen Guns, Other Property Found in Search. By B.K. Richter, staff writer. The Midland County Sheriff's Office has arrested one man after an alleged burglary led to the seizure of multiple firearms. According to a press release by the Sheriff's Office, Richard Raul Gonzalez, 37, was arrested and charged with burglary of a habitation. MCSO patrol deputies responded to the 6,000 block of East County Road 86 in reference to the burglary on Tuesday, January 13th. Through investigation, Midland County Sheriff's Office CID investigators obtained a search warrant for a residence located in the 10,000 block of East County Road 95. Said the Sheriff's Office. Several agencies, including the Midland County Sheriff's Office SWAT team, CID investigators, Tag Unit Permian Basin, and patrol deputies executed the search warrant and located multiple stolen firearms and various other stolen property. Gonzalez was transported to the Midland County Central Detention Center without incident. This article is entitled DPS, Woman Driving Without Taillights, Rear-Ended, Killed, by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Ector County. One woman is dead and another man is reported as suffering minor injuries following a fatal two-vehicle collision. Yaset Almeida Saraguido, 52, of Odessa, was pronounced dead at the scene, which DPS officials said occurred at approximately 7:30 p.m. Thursday, January 15th, at the intersection of Loop 338 and South Fork Avenue. A 2005 Toyota Corolla was traveling eastbound on Loop 338, while a 2024 Chevrolet Silverado was also eastbound behind the Toyota. Saraguido, identified as the driver of the Toyota, was operating the vehicle without required taillights and was slowing to turn onto South Fork when the Chevrolet struck it from behind. The crash remains under investigation and no additional information has been released to the public at this time. This is the Life Tributes column. Margaret Esther Carey Billingsley, July 10, 1926, to December 23, 2025. Margaret Esther Carey Billingsley passed peacefully into the loving arms of her Lord and Savior on December 23, 2025, in Midland. She was born on July 10, 1926, to A.B. and Mary Mullins Carey in Dawson County, outside of La Mesa. She graduated salutatorian from Colorado City High School in 1943 at the age of 16. She attended Texas Women's University and then Texas Tech, graduating with a journalism degree in May 1948. While at Texas Tech, she worked at Herald Photo, where she met N.A. Bill Billingsley, a Texas Tech student who was also working there after serving as a pilot in the Army Air Corps in World War II, They were married on January 31, 1948. After Bill passed in 2022, Margaret stayed in Abilene until she was finally convinced to move away from her beloved Abilene and her church and be near her family in Midland. She moved into Scarborough Cottage at Manor Park in April of 2024. Margaret was preceded in death by her husband, N.A. Bill Billingsley, her daughter, Kathy Eggleston, her parents, A.B. and Mary Carey, her brother and sister-in-law, Audra and Jackie Carey, and her mother and father-in-law, Myrtle and Nat Billingsley. She is survived by her son, Carey Billingsley, and his wife, Becky of Midland, grandsons Nathan Billingsley of Burnie, and Taylor Billingsley and wife Emily of Midland. She is also survived by four great-grandchildren and several nieces and nephews. A memorial and burial will be held in Abilene at the Texas Veterans Cemetery on March 6, 2026 at 1 p.m. Because of her love of all things bright and beautiful, the family would like to encourage that those who are able to attend wear bright colors. Arrangements are with the Hamill Family Funeral Home, 6449 Buffalo Gap Road in Abilene. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to First Methodist Church of Abilene. Memories may be shared and condolences submitted online at www.hamillfamily-funeralhome.com.
Hello there, this is Jim. I'll be reading from the Odessa American for January 19th, 2026. As data centers jostle to get on the Texas grid, ERCOT promises new rules for planning. This is by Inside Climate News, the Texas Tribune. Texas' main electric grid operator is developing a new process to evaluate multiple large load interconnection requests at the same time. The question for cryptocurrency miners and data center developments that are already in line is, who gets to go first? That should hopefully be sorted out by month's end. That's when the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, or ERCOT, hopes to have criteria announced for which energy-intensive projects could be considered for Batch Zero, the first group to go through ERCOT's revised planning process. At a Public Utility Commission of Texas PUC meeting on Thursday, Jeff Billow, ERCOT's Vice President of Interconnection and Grid Analysis, said that for Batch Zero, the grid operator will consider proposed large load interconnection requests from projects that have been in the queue for some time and don't need to be restudied. Projects that are less far along will be studied in a later batch, Billow said. These requests primarily come from data centers, crypto mines, industrial sites, and hydrogen projects. Billow also said that just because some existing projects in ERCOT's queue might warrant another transmission study doesn't mean they couldn't still be considered for Batch Zero. There's a lot of details to fill out there, Billow said. We are still really early in the process of designing how that batch study should work. The timing of a transmission study matters greatly for companies with billions of dollars at stake in development requiring a grid connection. PUC Chair Thomas Gleason said one of the largest points of contention among data center developers has been uncertainty about where their projects stand, despite some having been in the queue for years. Gleason said it's important not to leave these companies in limbo while ERCOT sorts out a new procedures for reviewing multiple requests from large energy users together and allocating transmission capacity among them. ERCOT previously studied large load users one at a time. Transparency around this issue is going to be critically important to ensuring success, the chairman said. Planning around Batch Zero comes as ERCOT is well into reforming its transmission planning procedures. With the increasing number of large loads seeking to connect to the grid, ERCOT and utilities cannot keep up with the required transmissions planning and end issuing restudies. The current system, built for a large load queue totaling 40 to 50 projects, is now bogged down by the 225 new projects ERCOT received last year, according to a December report. Under its previous planning processes, by the time one data center finished planning studies, the results would often have to be reconsidered almost immediately as more projects joined the interconnection queue and changed the local transmission needs and reliability. The consensus from early conversations with corporate stakeholders, including Google, Meta, Centerpoint, Amazon, and OpenAI, all looking for grid capacity in Texas, was that the uncertainty in the current process creates undue risk for developers with existing interconnection requests. The proposed batch method aims to ameliorate that. The outcome of the new process would determine the number of megawatts that Texas Independent Grid could reliably deliver and the additional transmission projects needed to enable full interconnection. If a developer requested a 500-megawatt project to be interconnected in 2028, but the batch study showed that ERCOT could only reliably provide 100 megawatts and would need to undergo a transmission upgrade in 2030, the developer would be offered an on-ramp of 100 megawatts until the transmission upgrade is completed in 2030, Billow said as an example. Then the developer would receive the full 500 megawatts of grid power. At the end of the batch study process, developers would have a set amount of time to make a financial commitment, Billow said, to demonstrate they will proceed with the project. After that, ERCOT could begin a transmission project to cover firm commitments, which could then be utilized in other batch studies. The initial sentiment from hyperscale data center users like Google, Amazon Web Services, Meta, and Microsoft, developers and independent power generators, is that a batch-based approach is necessary for large load interconnection, Billow said. Everyone that we have talked to so far has been supportive of us moving to a batch study process, Billow said.
Aging Better by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer at the Odessa Regional Medical Center. Many years ago, someone told me, old is 5 years older than you are now. Every time I think about that statement, it makes me laugh because it's one of those things that seem kind of dumb, yet it's amazingly accurate. I remember as a little kid looking at my parents and thinking they were ancient, and I couldn't believe that anyone could get as old as my grandparents. Now, I am a grandparent, but I am not old, though I bet my grandson would argue with that. Because I am getting older, again, not old, I do think more about aging well and setting a better example for my kids and grandkids as they age, too. This week, I thought I would talk about some tips that might help you age better as well. Tip 1. Begin each day with gratitude, including gratitude that you are aging. Start your day with a list of at least one thing, preferably more, of things you are grateful for. Gratitude promotes optimism, and multiple studies show that optimism has very strong links to longevity and better overall health. People who have a positive attitude about aging live on average 7.5 years longer than people who perceive aging as negative. Negative attitudes about aging can also have a negative impact on cognition as well. Tip 2, add exercise into your routine, but start small. Experts recommend that if you are adding exercise into your routine, that you start small. Start with 5 minutes a day and then add to that each day. Starting an exercise program with tip 3, when you exercise, add in resistance training at least 3 times a week. That can be free weights, weight machines, resistant bands, or your own body weight. Perform activities that help build not just your endurance, cardio, but your strength and muscle mass. Improving muscle mass can reduce risk factors for diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's disease, and cancer, and promotes longevity. Tip 4, eat well. Years and years of research have shown that diets high in fats, sugar, salt, and low in fiber are horrible for us. As a matter of fact, poor nutrition is the number one risk factor for premature death. Here, too, experts recommend starting with small changes. Don't change everything overnight. Instead, start eliminating unhealthy foods and meals for better choices, one at a time. It will take longer, but you will be more likely to succeed. Tip 5, be consistent in your schedule. A common factor among those people who live to be 100 is that they have very set routines. They get up and go to sleep at the same time every day. eat meals at the same time, and exercise at the same time. Tip 6, find a purpose. I think we all have heard the story of the person who worked hard all their life, retired, and died within a week. Interestingly, there is quite a bit of data that shows those aren't just stories. People who have a purpose live longer. Your purpose doesn't have to be a job, but it must be something that makes you want to get out of bed in the morning. If you're not sure what your purpose should be, try new things like volunteering or taking a continuing education class and see what perks your interest and then build on it. And tip 7, get out there. Do new things and socialize with others. There is so much data that shows that people who are engaged and socialized live longer. That is not social media. That is person-to-person interactions. Social connections are strongly linked to lifespan. Lifelong learning is strongly linked to lower risk for cognitive decline. Basically, good aging comes down to the same things I talk about often. Eat nutritiously and keep a healthy weight, sleep well, exercise, and use your brain. Talk to your primary health care provider about ways you can accomplish those things in a way that best meets your individual needs. I hope you have a safe and happy 2026 and that you keep aging well. It's a double delight in fundraising this year. Delicious chocolate, iconic music, and a mission that speaks volumes are coming together in a big way this year at the Aphasia Center of West Texas, hosts its 2026 fundraising event, Talk of the Town. While the evening is designed to be fun and festive, the heart of the event lies in its purpose. Aphasia is a language disorder often caused by stroke or other traumatic brain injury that affects a person's ability to speak, read, write, or understand language while leaving their intellect intact. This can be an incredibly isolating and frustrating experience, which makes the Aphasia Center of West Texas important. For more than 2 decades, the center has been a lifeline for individuals living with aphasia, making its invaluable support available to those even beyond the Permian Basin. The center works not only with its members, but also with their families, helping them reconnect and rebuild communication through structured speech pathology exercises called the Live Participation Approach to Aphasia. Our goal is to give our members with aphasia and their loved ones the tools that they need to still be able to interact with one another, says Kitty Benick, the director of the center. It helps those with aphasia unlock their messages and be able to access their world again. These programs restore confidence, independence, and human connection, one word, gesture, or breakthrough at a time. Historically, the Aphasia Center has hosted 2 big fundraisers, but this year the Permian Basin is in for a bit of a change. The Aphasia Center of West Texas is combining its 2 most popular fundraising traditions into one evening. Longtime supporters will recognize the fan-favorite Chocolate Decadence event, known for offering specialty chocolates you simply can't find anywhere else. The other event usually involves a concert, paying homage to a specific genre or artist. This year, guests won't have to choose between indulging their sweet tooth and enjoying live entertainment. They'll get both at once. Providing the soundtrack for the night will be the renowned Michael Jackson tribute band, Mamase, known for bringing the King of Pop's greatest hits to life. The concert portion of Talk of the Town promises 90 minutes of nonstop energy, nostalgia, and plenty of reasons to get up and dance, possibly with chocolate in hand. The night will also include a live auction to benefit the Aphasia Center of West Texas, so come ready to bid on unique items and experiences while supporting a great cause. For more information on aphasia and the Aphasia Center of West Texas, visit their website or give them a call. Talk of the Town is scheduled April the 24th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in downtown Odessa. Tickets are available at aphasiatexas.org, spelled A-P-H-A-S-I-A-W-T-X.org. Influencer Bash coming to Odessa. The digital landscape of the Permian Basin is about to get a major spotlight. Beginning at 6 p.m. Friday, Lamon Conchili will host the inaugural WTX Influencer Bash, an event to bring the region's top content creators, social media influencers, and digital storytellers together under one roof. Originally planned as an intimate gathering, the event has over 100 confirmed attendees. This surge in interest highlights a thriving, often overlooked sector of the West Texas economy, the digital creator class. We realized that while West Texas has incredible talent online, there was no physical space for these creators to connect, collaborate, and grow, said Leobardo Garcia, head chef and owner of Lemon Conchili. We are opening our doors not just to host a party, but to launch a community. We want to put the spotlight on the people who are telling the story of West Texas to the world. Obituaries. Jean Lee Kirby, age 91, passed away on Saturday, January the 17th. A celebration of Jean's life will be held at 2 p.m. on Saturday, January the 23rd, at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Odessa. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Visitation will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, January the 22nd, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Glenda Ray Griffin, age 93, of Garden City, died Wednesday, January the 14th. A funeral service was held on January the 20th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Timothy Timmy James Hawkins, age 35, of Odessa, died Friday, January the 16th. A celebration of life will be held at 3 p.m. January the 23rd at Ratliff Ranch. A viewing will be from 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday, January the 22nd at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Charles David Lout, age 79, of Odessa, died Sunday, January the 11th. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. on Thursday, January the 22nd at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. The family will receive friends for visitation Wednesday, January the 21st from 4 to 6 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly. Richard Paul Naworski, age 90, of Odessa, died Saturday, January the 17th. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, January the 21st at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Quick hits. Register to vote. February 2nd is the last day to register to vote. To be eligible to vote in the joint primary election on Tuesday, March the 3rd, you must be a registered voter. If you are not a registered voter, or if you need to update your address with the voter registrar, you have until February the 2nd to do so in person, or the application must be postmarked February the 2nd. You may also submit an application online with the Secretary of State at the following URL addresses: Ector County, tinyurl.com/2R54JPKM, Secretary of State, SOS.state, TX.US, call the elections office if you are unsure of your voting status. Ector County office is at 1010 East 8th Street, Suite 101, in the Ector County Annex, and the phone number is 498-4030. Meet and greet. Odessan Ronnie Lewis has scheduled a chance to talk politics and meet the candidates. All have been invited from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday, February the 2nd, at Homemade Wines, 400 North Texas Avenue. Wesley Hunt. Congressman Wesley Hunt will be at the Republican headquarters at 5 p.m. Monday, with doors opening at 4:45. Hunt is challenging U.S. Senator John Cornyn in the Republican primary in March. County Chair Donna Kelm says the headquarters is open Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Tuesdays, noon till 6. We can register voters, hand out yard signs of candidates, and pamphlets. We are here to answer questions. Please come sit and visit, she said, while also encouraging voters to come out and meet Hunt and local candidates. All local candidates have been invited to attend. Open house. The Ector County Commissioner's Court invites the public to an open house on Tuesday, January the 27th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., to share updates on the planning and design of the new Ector County Courthouse complex. The event will be held in the Joe Zant Community Room at the Salisbury Campus Center on the Odessa College campus, located at 201 West University Avenue. The open house is accessible to everyone with English and Spanish-speaking representatives. The open house is free and open to the public. Odessa Links. Odessa Links, a nonprofit whose mission is to help people find stable housing and offer resources to become self-sufficient, is hosting their second annual Big Game Watch fundraiser. The event is scheduled for 5 p.m. February the 8th at the Odessa Marriott, 305 East 5th Street. Sponsorship tables are currently available, and individual tickets may be for sale depending on availability. The event will include tailgate foods, drinks, and entertainment. Raffle tickets are also being sold to benefit Odessa Links for $20 each. Prizes include 4 tickets to a Dallas Cowboys game during the 2026 season, a 2-night stay in Rudoso, an autographed jersey by Pro Football Hall of Fame running back Emmett Smith, and other items. The drawing will be held at halftime, and raffle tickets can be purchased online. Winners do not have to be present to win. This day in history. Today is Wednesday, January the 21st, and on this date in 2020, the U.S. reported its first known case of the 2019 novel coronavirus circulating in China, saying a Washington State resident who had returned the previous week from the outbreak's epicenter was hospitalized near Seattle. Also on this date in 1793, during the French Revolution, King Louis XVI, condemned for treason, was executed by the guillotine. In 1861, Jefferson Davis of Mississippi, with a dramatic farewell speech, resigned his U.S. Senate seat after his state and others seceded from the Union. He would later be elected president of the Confederacy shortly before the Civil War began. In 1924, Russian revolutionary Vladimir Lenin died at age 53, setting off a bloody power struggle that would lead to the rise of Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin. In 1950, former State Department official Alger Hiss, accused of being part of a communist spy ring, was found guilty in New York of lying to a grand jury. Hiss, who proclaimed his innocence, served less than 4 years in prison. In 1960, the collapse of a mine in Colebrook, South Africa, killed 437 miners. In 1976, British Airways and Air France inaugurated scheduled passenger service on the supersonic Concorde jet. In 1977, on his first full day in office, President Jimmy Carter pardoned almost all Vietnam War draft evaders. In 1985, Galaxy Airlines Flight 203 crashed in a field shortly after takeoff from Reno, Nevada, killing all but one of the 71 people aboard. The survivor was a 17-year-old boy who was thrown clear of the aircraft and found conscious and still in his seat. In 2010, a deeply divided U.S. Supreme Court in Citizens versus Federal Election Commission vastly increased the influence of big business and labor unions by allowing unlimited contributions to political campaigns. In 2017, a day after Donald Trump's first presidential inauguration, an estimated 3 million to 5 million people rallied at Women's March demonstrations across the U.S. to support civil rights and to protest Trump's rhetoric and policies. In 2023, a gunman opened fire and killed 11 people at a ballroom dance hall in Monterey Park, California, during the city's Lunar New Year festivities. The gunman killed himself as police closed in on him. Tony says, a letter to Tony King reads, on November the 6th, when the government was still shut down, I turned in my Medicare enrollment form signed by my employer to the local Social Security office. I never received anything from Social Security about being enrolled, so I went to the office and found out that my paperwork was lost. I refiled a copy of the forms with Social Security about 3 weeks ago, and now my Social Security fund begins. Now I must fight Social Security because they are under the impression that I have waited past my 8-month window to enroll in Medicare Part B, which I did not. I am now receiving a Part B penalty. What a nightmare. I remember reading a Tony Says Medicare article about asking a local congressional office for help with Social Security or governmental issues. Can you please explain what one should do to get help from your congressperson in appealing an inaccurate decision about Medicare from a local Social Security office agent? Thank you, Tony. And Tony helps by answering, if you need help with your Social Security and Medicare issues, then talk with your area's congressional office. Your congressional office is the one to help you solve your issues with the federal rather than state government organization, such as Social Security, Medicare, IRS, VA, or other federal programs. Visit your congressperson's website for the local office contact information, or you can email that office your issue from the congressional website. On page 17 of the 2026 Medicare and You Handbook under Special Enrollment Period explains the rules of leaving employers' benefits when you're still working past 65. It discusses the special 8-month window for enrolling in Medicare and spells out that the 8-month period begins the month after the employment ends or health coverage ends, whichever happens first. When you enrolled with Social Security, you might have been close to the end of the 8-month window, so let's explain this to your congressional office's agent when you contact them. Below are a few of the Social Security forms used for Medicare. Don't forget to write special enrollment period to keep from receiving a penalty at the top of these specific forms. CMSL 546, CMS 40B, and SSA 44 when turning the forms into the local Social Security office in your area or by email. CMSL 564, Request for Employer Benefits, is the form that shows proof of employer health benefits from the specific employer. If you have had two or more employers since turning 65, have a CMSL 564 form signed by each employer to turn into Social Security when applying for Medicare Part B or Medicare insurance. CMS 40B, Application for Enrollment in Medicare Part B, is the application for enrolling in Medicare Part B or medical insurance. Attach this form with the CMSL 564 Request for Employer Benefits when applying for Part B after leaving employer benefits past 65 and 90 days. SSA 44, Medicare Income Related Monthly Adjustment Amount, or dash life-changing event. Advises Social Security of a major life-changing event that has lowered your income. Life-changing events include marriage, divorce, the death of a spouse, work stoppage or reduced hours, lost property, and more options listed on the SSA 44 form. You should search for documents and evidence you have to prove that you did not wait past the 8-month window to apply for Medicare after leaving employer benefits. Have them ready to show or send to a representative from your congressperson's or local Social Security office. Readers, remember to always have Part B in place when leaving your job or losing your company benefits. There might not be a second chance. Call the Tony Says office at 832-519-8664 to schedule a Medicare review or email info@tonisays.com. Tony's new course, a downloadable video series called Confused About Medicare Workshop and the Medicare Survival Guide Advanced Edition, are available at tonisays.com. Sign up for the Tony Says newsletter at tonysays.com to keep up to date on Medicare changes.
Your courthouse up close. Join the open house at Odessa College. The Ector County Commissioner's Court invites the public to an open house on Tuesday, January 27th from 5:30 till 7:30 p.m. to share updates on the planning and design of the new Ector County Courthouse complex. The event will be held in the Joe Zant Community Room at the Salisbury Campus Center on Odessa College's campus, located at 201 West University Boulevard. The open house offers the Ector County community a unique opportunity to ask questions, offer input, and gain insight into various aspects of the new Ector County Courthouse complex, which is the courthouse, civic park, parking garage, and library. The open house will feature a series of stations, each highlighting different facets of the project. Guests can interact with knowledgeable project and county representatives at each station, ask questions, and gain a deeper understanding of how the new courthouse complex serves Ector County residents and downtown Odessa. The open house is accessible to everyone, with English and Spanish-speaking representatives available so that all visitors feel welcome and stay informed. Families, students, community members, and business leaders are invited to attend, gain insights into the project, and learn firsthand about the planned improvements. The open house is free and open to the public. And up next, we have the Life Center expands in Big Spring. The Life Center announced a major expansion of its facility at 1801 South Main Street, Big Spring, adding 2,700 square feet of much-needed space to better serve individuals and families in the community. This expansion will include additional client rooms, classroom space, material assistance storage, and offices, allowing the Life Center to increase capacity, enhance services, and create a more welcoming and functional environment for those seeking care, education, and support. Why the expansion? As the needs of the Big Spring community continue to grow, so does the demand for the Life Center's services. This expansion ensures the organization can serve more clients with excellence, privacy, and compassion, now and into the future. How is this project being made possible? The Life Center's vision to expand and build is becoming a reality thanks to the generosity of the community. Local supporters, donors, and partners have played a vital role in making this project possible, demonstrating a shared commitment to serving and strengthening Big Spring. Construction is currently underway, with projected completion set for mid-summer. The Life Center is a nonprofit, faith-based alternative to abortion organization serving women and men across West Texas and beyond. With locations including Big Spring, Midland, Andrews, and Odessa, the Life Center offers free and confidential service such as pregnancy testing, limited obstetrical ultrasounds, STI-STD consultations, prenatal and parenting education, baby item support, fatherhood programs, and referrals to community resources. The center also provides accurate information on abortion procedures and risks while promoting healthy choices and nurturing relationships through practical tools, spiritual support, and mentoring. The Life Center is committed to empowering individuals and families to make informed decisions and to support them throughout their journey.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.